The following is a fourth-hand production.
In the year 2000, someone using the name John Teeter claimed to be a time-traveling soldier on the radio program Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell and on several internet message boards. He claimed he was on a mission to retrieve an IBM 5100 computer to save his future and ours. Was this the first case of real documented time travel, or just some internet troll having fun at the expense of others? Find out next on Hysteria 51.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that doesn't have time travel capabilities yet. But if we could time travel, we'd do things to improve humanity. All that and make an insane amount of money. This is Hysteria 51.
Oh, hi. Didn't see you there. Here's a question. Was it morally wrong for me to exploit my knowledge of the future for personal financial gain? Perhaps. Here's another question. Do I give a fuck?
Obviously, we're going to have time travel. This show must be perfect because otherwise we'd come back and fix it and we've not shown back up. So obviously this is perfection.
Could not agree more.
Right?
Idiots.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, we're your hosts and lead chrononauts, Brent Hand and John Goforth.
It must be some kind of hot tub time machine.
Brent, if we did have a time machine and we went to the past, do you think we'd make it better or worse?
No question we'd make it better. I mean, we make some changes along the way, but all for the betterment of humanity.
One little change has a ripple effect, and it affects everything else. Like a butterfly floats its wings and Tokyo explodes, or there's a tsunami in, like, you know, somewhere.
Dude, yes, exactly. Or like you step on a bug and the fucking internet's never invented.
Right.
Oh, then you have to talk to girls with your mouth.
Yeah, I was more concerned about bigger consequences like me not being born.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't care about that.
Wait, is that possible? Could we time travel and make it where you meet sex were never born?
I mean, I guess if you had a real time machine, we could probably do a number of things that would ensure we'd fade from existence. Marty McFly style, I guess?
I'm intrigued. Go on.
By the way, that other voice you're hearing is the third host of this show and the only one who roots for the robots in the Terminator movies, Conspiracy Bot. C-Bot is our robot that I built in my lab to help make the show better. Instead, he spends most of his time planning our demise and playing Missile Command, which it's kind of disheartening now that I'm really thinking about it.
Yeah, remember, we told him it was connected to CENTCOM. So speaking of Time Travel Nation, we're going to take a little journey of our own this evening.
That's right. Tonight, we're talking about John Teeter, an infamous time traveler. And so we thought, what better source to learn about time travel than us? Question mark?
So let's go to the Wayback Machine and hit up 2 years ago and hear what we had to say about how time travel works.
John, give us a little elevator pitch on time travel.
All right, here is something that I definitely wrote myself and did not pick up off of the internet. Time travel is the concept of movement between certain points in time, analogous to movement between different points in space, typically using a hypothetical device known as a time machine, either in the form of a vehicle or a portal connecting distant points in time. Time travel is a recognized concept in philosophy and fiction. But traveling to an arbitrary point in time has very limited support in theoretical physics, and usually in conjunction with quantum mechanics or Einstein-Rosen bridges.
Mm, better my favorite known, kind of bridges.
Wormholes.
No, Bo Bridges is the best.
Well, Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, come on.
I'll take Bo.
Thank you.
I'll take Jeff.
I'm a Jeff guy.
Yeah, yeah. Two for Jeff, you lose. In a more narrow sense...
Lloyd.
When?
Oh, he went Lloyd.
I like Randy Bridges, the guy who was my plumber two seasons ago when I needed to put in a new toilet.
Strong.
Bridges of Madison County?
as you can see, our track record of being insanely informative goes back to the very beginning, Brent.
I learned a lot listening to that clip, is what I want you to know. And how about that sound quality? If there's anything we've always promised our intrepid listeners, you get what you pay for here.
Every penny.
Yikes. This dumpster fire was even worse. Didn't think that was possible.
I guess we have improved. The humans have, anyway, I think, John, is the best way to put it. Speaking of humans, we have guests, one of which you also just heard in that clip.
For the fourth week in a row, and it only seems like 12.
12th in our heart.
Joe Peck joins us.
Pecker. Oh.
His name is Pecker.
Jeez. Joe, my goodness, you are incorrigible.
I'm not actually here.
You don't know this. We haven't told you, but producer Lisa and I have started the adoption process. So
I wondered why that social worker kept showing up around my house.
I've always wanted Joe to call me daddy. Now the law's getting involved to make it happen.
Is this just an excuse for you to ask for a social security number?
Well, I mean, it's more of a cunning ruse.
I would have given it to you. I've never told you, like, I welcome someone to steal my identity. My life is not that cool. I'm a fucking 39-year-old single lonely guy. Like, take it. Take it. Let me have a mulligan.
In fact, if you'd like to steal his identity, his social security number, 369-42-8961.
There's someone out there that's going to go, son of a bitch. Hey.
Actually, it's 4-8-15-16. Sorry, that's a little lost reference.
23-42.
Thank you. Thank you.
4-8-15-16, 23-42. Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to move on.
You guys are nerds.
Oh, that other voice you're hearing, that we normally reserve that comment for Conspiracy Bop, but that other voice you're hearing is another guest tonight.
Can't see him too good. Who is it over there? It's a little blurry.
The indomitable force behind Chicago's number one podcast, Blurry Photos. Yes. Mr. David Flora. David, thank you for joining us.
David Fluoride. David Fluoride.
I already, order up. Order I already up, don't everybody. Like him.
Order up.
I don't like the other bald guys.
Yeah, we got a Highlander thing going on right now. There could time. Be only one.
Right. Oh, dude, the lightning is like, can you feel it? Yeah. The tingling? Like, a quickening is coming.
I feel that deer. I feel that deer's heart just pumping.
well remembered.
I kind of thought that was just some animal magnetism between two.
That is an obscure
potato.
From
so obscure, and I like it.
Yeah.
Well, David, thank you for joining us. We brought you on today because you are a John Titor expert.
Joe, no thank you for joining us.
No thanks for having me.
We're doing this a little different. That's why we have him on here, right, John?
Yes, exactly right. I mentioned David is a Titor expert as much as anyone can be.
He celebrates his entire catalog.
Another good obscure reference.
David and I are going to tell Joe and Brent the story. They've done no research and will simply ask questions along
John
the way.
John literally gave me the week off.
Yep.
He actually called. He goes, what if you don't research this? And I'm like, go on.
So all they're going to do is ask questions along the way. Don't forget bad dick and fart jokes along with some inane Simpsons references.
Never forget those. No.
Joe is on the show. So
that reminds me of the Simpsons episode. Where
so that too.
Now that I've got you.
Yeah. Buzz Killington here.
And so are you ready, guys, for the story of John Titor, time traveler? Me either. Let's get into it.
That is
excellent chord progression, you guys.
Yeah.
So
that's the most excellent song.
Before we hit the story, let me, David, what do you think? Is it John Titor or Titor? Like O-R-E-R, the sound, not the spelling.
Oh, well, that's a good question. I always said Titor.
Titor, yeah.
It just it seems smoother than Titor.
Like Titor sounds like he comes with, you know, Battle Cat and
exactly.
His own, like, he's got a fist that's two sizes too big. You
action,
know, like,
battle damage armor.
Yeah. Right.
You
press his stomach.
The adventurer.
Yeah, now with Kung Fu Grip.
So from here on out, I'm going to say Titor.
Yeah. Titor.
All right.
Like that chick from college that used to hate me because every time she was in the green room, I'd walk. Can I go, Marlo of the Hill People? And she burnt her
dorm room
down. Yeah.
So 20 years later, you're still making fun of her.
I think it's my fault.
Most people can't let go of grudges. Brent can't let go of things he made fun of people for.
Somewhere grudges that he caused.
They caused, yes.
Somewhere some girl has finally got her hair back and just heard the no.
Because she's obviously both listening to this and listening to it live.
We all know people remote view this show regularly. All right, the story. I'm ready. Teach me. We talked about, I will give them a look. We did speak of him just briefly in a couple
in our time travel episode.
In our time travel. So I remember, you know, that he exists and stuff, but we didn't really dive into the story.
But you don't know when he exists.
No.
Yeah.
That checks out.
I'm pretty sure we'll find out about that last week.
Yeah.
So it all started in the year of our Lord, 1998 AD.
College. I was in college in that fine year. I met the beautiful woman in the production booth.
Why are you pointing at David?
Bruth?
She's behind him. Oh. The production booth. It's like a booth, but it's, you know.
You make beer and you make sure our levels are good.
Yeah.
So, 1998, it's probably the best place to start, and also it starts in a place that is probably the most reputable place that you can make any kind of scientific claim, coast to coast with Art Bell.
Oh man, that still hurts.
I thought Coast to Coast was with Space Ghost. Did Art Bell take over for him?
Yes. A little shout out, Poro went out for the old school homie for kind of what we do. Tell me, you know what? Art Bell never took a crap on anyone's story. He let them say whatever they wanted and gave them that air of, I believe you.
As opposed to the show where we do it routinely.
You know, and then you somewhere in the desert and Art Bell, he's God rest him, kind of. And I don't know if you've been watching the saga after he left. They've been fighting over who's going to take over his show, and all this stuff has been
Space
kind
Ghost.
Of a nasty, true, kind of nasty thing.
I thought Nori was pretty well ensconced.
Well, so he is, but Art Bell had his new show that he's been doing on internet on their own show,
right?
And I can't think of the name
on
of the
internet
on the web, on the Bruth.
And he had a woman that took over for him, and she was doing it. And when he left, she said, I can't do the show. I need some time off. And after like a month and a half, they're like, all right, it's time to come back. And she's like, I can't. I'm still mourning. They're like, okay, then we have to replace you. And she's like, how dare you? And it's like, well, you can't really do that. Like, I can't go, I'm in mourning for someone, indefinitely.
Yeah.
I believe, what's the saying? The show must go on. Isn't that what you always say, John?
Yes. Yeah. She sounds very similar, actually, to the executioner from Robin Hood Men in Tights.
What are you, a 16? 16 and a half?
Is that the new Nazi? Is that what you're going to work into every single
episode? No, it's Brent's new accent. It used to be the New York guy.
Hey, what are you, like a 16? Maybe 16 and a half?
With the arms going.
Exactly.
You know what? I'll forget about it. I'll figure it out.
It's worked in number two. So let's try to get back to John Tudor.
Yeah.
It starts with a fax to Coast to Coast.
If that's not telling the date.
So 98, yeah.
If you aren't familiar, Coast to Coast was a national radio program that ran overnights all over the place. But with Art Bell.
Oh, okay.
Art would do open line segments routinely, and he was actually doing a special one, open timeline. And he basically, hey, if you're a time traveler, call us and give us your story. And this person decided to fax the show instead.
Well, and speaking of calls, we have our first caller, which, and I mean ever, because this is not a call-in show.
So we have the facts here, and I'm going to have David read it because David does the perfect John Teeter voice.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry, Teetor.
I'm John Teeter.
Hey, dear Art, I had to fax when I heard other time travelers calling in from any time past the year 2500 AD. Please. Let me explain.
As if someone was going to cut him off in the facts.
Stop. It's not a telegraph.
Time travel was invented in 2034. Offshoots of certain successful fusion reactor research allowed scientists at CERN to produce the world's first contained singularity engine. The basic design involves rotating singularities inside a magnetic field. By altering the speed and direction of rotation, you can travel both forward and backward
in time.
He's 20 years ago, they're already blaming everything on CERN. I'm with it so far. Like, so far, that every sci-fi movie I've heard, that's hitting a singularity, rotating. That makes sense.
So we're going to cut out a huge chunk of the middle of the facts. A
lot of racism, so we're just going to skip over.
He goes on to explain multiple timeline theory and that for one reason or another, time seems to stop in 2564. Anyway, back to the facts.
No. The Mayans predicted that, right?
Yeah, 2564, yes. It's a much bigger calendar. Yeah.
Their second.
It's two prediction. Wheels.
Now, for the future, you might want to know about. One, Y2K is a disaster. Many people die on the highways when they freeze to death trying to get to warmer weather. Two, the government tries to keep power by instituting martial law, but all of it collapses when their efforts to bring the power back up fail.
No.
Three, a power facility in Denver is able to restart itself, but is mobbed by hundreds of thousands of people and destroyed. This convinces most that maybe we shouldn't bring the old system back up.
Did they have pitchforks and
torches?
Thanks
a lot, Snake Plissken. Wasn't this the ending of Escape from L.A.?
Yes. Or also the entire plot of that one season show, Revolution.
Yeah.
Four. A few years later, communal government system is developed after the Constitution takes a few twists.
Communal government system, another fancy way to say communism.
Yeah.
Communism.
There's more than one twist in the Constitution, I'd say, but go ahead.
China retakes Taiwan, Israel wins the largest battle for their life, and Russia is covered in nuclear snow. Nuclear snow from their collapsed reactors.
Brilliant. No one there seemed to notice.
Art, the reason I'm here now is because I believe a nuclear weapon set off by Iraq in the Middle East war with Israel might have something to do with the damaged timeline. I will test that theory and get back to you.
I will test that theory.
Please pray that we discover the reason why there is no apparent future after 2564.
Wow, that's foreboding. But you know what? That's a few generations from now. Screw it. I'm an American. That doesn't even count.
That's future us problem. Yeah.
2564 is not even a prime number. Who cares?
it's interesting enough, right? But then a second fax comes in that same year.
Everyone knows, at least in the 90s, it was illegal to send more than one fax if it was a lie.
Right.
So this
offers some legitimacy to it. Now here's the second fax.
Dear Mr. Bell, I'm going to read this a little faster because there's a lot of it here. I'm glad you're back. I faxed this information to you the day before you left the air. I wanted to make sure it wasn't lost in the shuffle, so I'm sending a gift. If you've already seen this, please accept my apologies. If you choose to make this public, please do not publish the fax number. I had to fax when I heard the other time traveler calling in from the recent time past. In fact, what happened? I had to fax when I heard the other time traveler calling in from the recent time past. In fact, the year 2500 AD. Let me explain.
Please.
Mr. Bell. I sent a fax with this opening on July 29th, 1998. As I said, sorry, there's a line through that date on mine.
Oh.
As I said then, I am a time traveler. I've been on this world line since April of this year, and I plan to leave soon. Typically, that's a word, time travelers do not purposely affect the world lines they visit. However, this mission is unusually long, and I've grown attached to some of the people I've met here. Anyway, for my own reasons, I've decided to help this world line by sharing information about the future with a few people in the hope that it'll help their future. I'm contacting you for the same reason.
Wait. So he's saying this timeline is everything's a tangent, is what he's saying, right? Like
multi-world
theory. Oh, wow. Okay. I'm with you. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Unfortunately, there's no historical reference to your program in my world line. I believe you can change the future by creating one now. Your future.
Right.
Some
now.
Of the information.
Show tomorrow. Crystal Pepsi is why I'm here.
Some of the information presented on your program may be invaluable to upline researchers. I suggest you isolate the programs that concentrate on military technology and new physics theories. Transcribe these programs and put them in someplace safe away from the box. I recommend someplace in the Midwest.
What you're saying, write down the important things. Keep them somewhere where you won't lose them.
And everyone knows that 15 or 20 years from now, if you're looking for ways to save humanity, you go back to old episodes of Coast to Coast.
Right, right. I mean, well, that is a give. I do. I mean, you know.
Put them in your favorite box.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it's in the Midwest.
Wasn't there an SNL sketch back in the day of like, it was like a guy talking about creating a business. He goes, we shall write down the names of our clients on a sheet of paper or something else.
Yeah.
And we shall place them somewhere safe, like a drawer or a safe.
And then later they're talking about they should do something else. We're going to keep that safe. Probably in the same place to keep the list with the clients' names.
And everybody's like, yeah,
it's a right. boardroom.
Yeah. All right, back to the facts, please, Chrononaut.
That's F-A-X, not F-A-C-T-S, yeah.
Yeah,
well, let's distinguish that.
Or was that a question mark? Sorry.
Ooh.
I also urge you to reconsider your paranoia to the Russians. They're not preparing for war with the average U.S. citizen.
They're great.
Only the exceptional.
They're preparing for war with the U.S. government.
They're huge.
They will eventually save this country and the lives of millions of Americans.
Has Trump seen this? Like, this should be what he submits to exonerate himself.
This is the State of the Union next year.
I realize my claims are a bit difficult to accept, fellas. All right. So I will send the following once I know you've received this fax. A few pages from the operations manual of my time machine.
Wait, does his fax machine from the future not have the capability of sending you the status sheet that said transmission received. Okay or fax received?
Right.
What fax machine from the future? Redundant.
Heyo. I don't know why everything's making me think of SNL, but now I'm thinking of the unfrozen caveman lawyer. When he's like,
I'm just a caveman.
Sometimes when I receive a fax, I wonder, are there demons inside that box? Sometimes when I'm driving my BMW and a thunderstorm comes, I run into the hills because I'm scared of lightning.
With that said, Your Honor, I'd like you to exonerate my witness. And a few colored photographs of my vehicle.
Oh.
If you wish
it's a color fax machine?
Oh my goodness. I said fax machine from the future. If you wish to contact me, I will be happy to share with you the nature of time, the physics of time travel, and some of the events of your future.
So this was faxed to Coast in 98, and Art Bell read all this live.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Bell is the king of like taking this stuff and just going, hey, I got this. And I'm going to read it to you and I'm going to take it seriously.
That's exactly right.
You know?
And he was not, John Titor or whoever this was at the time, not identified by name yet, wasn't the only one that would call in or fax in, I suppose.
He just said, and my fellow time driver. It's almost like he's like, usually we don't mess with the timelines, but
yeah. Yeah.
I've been banging, you know, said chick over here.
So if you kill your father and you disappear like Marty McFly, what happens if you become your own father? Do you grow like a third arm?
Futurama did an episode about it. Don't worry. Just go watch.
It's like in Time Cop where they can't occupy the same space.
Oh,
he's like,
if you're looking for historical accuracy and kind of a guide pole as to whether something could be true or could not be true, you always use Time Cop.
Oh, I do.
It's very smart.
Few things that my dad taught me that I'll take to the grave every day.
That Time Cop and that Taco Bell wins the franchise wars?
Yep.
Yep. There he is.
Yep, that's it.
All right, so.
Now all that's going through my head right now is Brent looking in the mirror and going, hey, Dad!
So that was it, guys. That's it. Just a few bizarre faxes to a radio host that trades in the bizarre.
But wait! There's more!
Uh-oh. So we're not done, is what you're getting.
There is indeed more. 2 years later, a person with the username Time _traveler_0.
It's not even one, zero. This guy is, you know.
How futuristic.
Unfortunately, _time_traveler_0 was already taken.
Exactly.
Posted in the Time Travel Institute forums, then known as a safe space for people interested in time travel, and I guess a logical destination for an actual time traveler to make contact.
Just like an actual alien would send their files to someone like Tom DeLonge and not the U.S. government.
That's exactly right.
You always go to those people, not you know, the government or scientists.
Because they're the woke ones.
They're the woke, right.
Well, and that's where everyone says, like, hey, John, I want to share something with you about your current timeline. I mean, your timeline. I mean, now.
About your human timeline. I mean, timeline. I mean, God damn it.
I want to share something with you about my past, your future. I mean, our future, your past. Damn it.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get
there. All right. So here is the first post in the Time Travel Institute's forum.
Greetings. I am a time traveler from the year 2036. I'm on my way home after getting an IBM 5100 computer system from the year 1975.
Yeah, I collect old IBM machines. It's just
thought
I
I'd say hi, guys. My time machine is a stationary mass temporal displacement unit manufactured by General Electric. The unit is powered by two top-spin dual positive singularities that produce a standard offset tippler sinusoid.
That's fascinating. My doctor this week told me I'm at risk of having a tippler sinusoid.
I'll be happy to post pictures of the unit.
I got arrested for telling someone that.
So he comes back in time. This is 2 years later, and he's posting this on a time travel bulletin board for all intents
correct.
And purposes.
Correct. Well, as time traveler, or I'm sorry, time_traveler_0.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is a very, very, very easy way to stay anonymous as a time traveler, and that's by calling yourself time traveler.
Right.
So he eventually will post some pictures of his quote-unquote time machine in a fairly uncomfortable place.
I know what that's going to be.
Well, like the back of a Volkswagen.
Close, C-Bot. The back of a Chevy Corvette. So then in 2001, Time Traveler Zero, now going by the name of John Titor, made his first post.
Of the hill people.
Titor.
Made his first post in the Art Bell forums, the online counterpart to Coast to Coast. It was an exact duplicate of the November 2nd post from the Time Travel forums. He eventually migrated permanently to the Art Bell forums, where he would post regularly until March of 2001.
So he found a community that he was comfortable with.
That's exactly right.
Isn't that what we all want, whether geographically or in time? Accepted it.
And why is C-Bot playing along? That's the part, right? I don't understand. So there are literally hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of posts and interactions. Way too much to get into here. So we're going to give you like kind of the basic breakdown of what he said.
All right. And literally, there are like hundreds of posts. Like, you can find
active.
Yeah, you can find the archives of this online. And I tried going through as much as I could when I did my episode. Man. Yeah, that it goes and
BS
goes.
Is it just BS jargon using like he's been singularity, like the same buzzwords and
sort of, but like he is like quintessential form poster. Like
yeah.
He's snappy with people and he's kind of a dick, you know, and then people are asking him questions and he's coming up with answers to everything and is pretty happy to answer them, but he's still like, you idiots, like this is we're communists, but I'm not gonna say communist. Yeah.
And the tone is really, really like
so
why
really realistic as far as the world going right now. Like he's troll has become an art form.
Oh yeah. Why would you even ask that question? You know what he sounds like? He sounds like comic book guy from The Simpsons.
Yes. Sort of does, yeah.
Oh, worst episode ever.
Best time travel ever.
So there's lots of these posts, but here's the basic claim. He claims to be an American soldier from the year 2036 based in Tampa, Florida. He was assigned to a governmental time travel project and sent back to 1975 to retrieve an IBM 5100. If the IBM 5100 was one of the very first, I'm not going to say, I guess best way, portable computer, transportable computer.
The size of a small room.
No. I mean, it was like suitcase size. Right. You could take it with you somewhere as opposed to other computers
portable
of the time.
Portable computation machine.
Of this
fax machine from
unit.
The future.
Yeah. unit. So about needing a computer from 1975, he said,
"We need the system to debug various legacy computer programs in 2036. Unix has a problem in 2038.
So there's no way that they can just use some sort of, you know, front end to pretend like it's an IBM 5100. They have to use that. They don't have DOSBox, but for IBM 5100.
No, that's what he says.
Is this like the South Park where the guy comes back from the future to get Cartman's Trapper Keeper?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
It just seems so random that it's he just but picked one thing.
The one thing you can always go back to this story is not all of it is random. He has little kernels hidden in there. And the first, it turns out Unix really does have a programming language problem, sort of a Y2K problem. Oh. It counts everything in seconds, okay? And it's going to run out of integers in the year 2038.
So he literally had to have known that. Or if he's not telling the truth, he would have had to know that and pick something that
Why
was
did
realistic.
You use that voice there? I don't understand.
I just want them to know. I,
Is that
I'm not
another new clear. Voice? Are you just adding a new voice?
You got
there?
Gas or something?
Also, tons and tons and tons of basic computer systems run on Unix. Yeah. So when you think of like, you know, a train's braking system, right. Stuff like that. It's a real basic pro.
So what you're saying is I need to have my bug out bag ready that night.
That's
on the December 31st, 2037. Yeah, that's the real Y2K.
You
know what's really funny about that I never would have thought of? So, you know, as you were reading some of the faxes and we were listening to that, you know, some of the things, obviously, it's like, well, that doesn't sound like where the world's going. You know, GE looks like it's going out of business, for example, like whatever. But then you just said the trains. One of my recent rants has been, I'm so effing tired of our smartest man alive, our Tesla, Elon Musk. Instead of figuring out teleportation technology, he's fucking around with trains. It's 100 years old. So apparently we are going in that direction. Like, maybe this Unix stuff is real.
Hey, Warren Buffett knows it too. One of the biggest purchases he's ever made a few years ago.
Union Pacific.
He made Union Pacific. That's
exactly
right.
Yeah, this is
don't land on it.
This is where we're going.
So anyway, Teeter said that he had been selected for this mission specifically, given that his paternal grandfather was involved with the assembly and programming of the IBM 5100. And that's obviously the one they need help because they needed help to fix the problem.
So his DNA interfaces with it? Like what?
It's an inside job.
What this computer does is translate both languages, okay. Right? So it does Unix and what was the do you remember the other
language. Puts it into another language that other computers can understand.
They had inane names, but it emulates older, more archaic computer languages. Okay. It's an emulator.
That's what I meant. Why couldn't they just make an IBM 5100 emulator
to emulate the emulator? Ooh,
like they literally had to have the
there is no spoon.
The real thing.
Leonardo DiCaprio is dead by then, so
that's true. The top's still spinning though.
But David's right, and the other interesting thing about the IBM 5100 and its ability to do that, IBM took a look at it and said, you know, we're kind of worried what our competition might do with this technology. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to tell anyone that it can do that. Mm-hmm. And according to an IBM engineer, they kept that inside the house, didn't mm-hmm. tell anybody about it.
So this guy had insider information
of
in one
some
way
type.
Or another.
Yes.
There was like a small handful of people that
so
knew
that,
about it.
That's kind of a big, big smoking gun here. An interesting little tidbit to it. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Well, wait, is it a little tidbit or is it a big smoking gun? Brent?
Choose your own adventure on that one.
Or in your case, is your big smoking gun actually just a little tidbit?
You've been talking to Lisa and I'll ask you to stop that.
So what you must be asking yourself is he needed a computer from 1975. Mm-hmm. He's from the year 2036. Mm. What is he doing in the early 2000s?
Yeah. The number one. And how does he know about the 25, 30, whatever the line? I got lots of questions. Keep going.
Well, he claimed to do a stopover for personal reasons, to collect pictures that are, of course, lost in the future Civil War that I'm about to tell you about. and of course, visit his family, of whom he often spoke. He said that he stayed with his parents and his two-year-old self.
Wow.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, he's really testing that time cop theory.
Hey, kid!
So he also said he had been for a few months trying to alert anythat would listen about the threat of Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease spread through the beef products. It's mad cow disease. If you're familiar with mad cow disease.
Another round 2000 buzzword, you know, remember the UK was ripe with mad cow disease.
Well, 93 and 94 is when that went off. Yeah. And then everybody for future years, to your point, was very worried about it in their beef products. So anyway, he was trying to warn people about that. And then when he was questioned by an online subscriber, he also expressed an interest in mysteries such as UFOs, which remained unexplained in his time.
Oh my gosh.
Well, if they became explained, they would no longer be UFOs.
It's a valid point.
It's a disclosure episode. That's
just
be
UFOs.
Our UFO disclosures are just
so much of what we've talked about.
Yeah, what
on
are
this,
we even doing?
Yeah, yeah. We're wasting our time.
Well, you know what? It's been fun, guys.
But he did suggest that UFOs and extraterrestrials might be travelers from much further into the future than his own time with superior time machines.
Yeah, but they don't know if they're past 25, whatever, because they don't know. Or right. Just a different tangent.
A different world line. That was his term.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Basically, that cutoff point of 25, whatever, was him saying he explained it as some people from his time tried to go forward, and every time they went past that date, it was blackness and nothing.
Wow.
And so nobody knows why or what happened. So
they survived and came back, but there was nothing there.
It's like when Count Duckula got to the end of the universe.
Duckula. Count Duckula.
That was exactly. Such a good show.
All right, so we know why.
Wait, so the time travel singularity is a castle?
Yes.
That's true. That's true. Another thing we talk about on here several times that most people probably have no idea what we're talking about.
So time travel?
I'll cut you off every time, John. Keep going.
Been trying to get through this John episode for the last hour and a half
for
now.
Those listening at home, John is exasperated.
Or remote viewing.
This was the worst decision ever to let me and Brent just ask questions.
You're going to develop a time machine to go back and warn yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. How bad can it be? No one's come from the future to tell us to stop yet. So come on.
So we know why he's time hopping and what he's after. But what else is going on in the future? How exactly does the time machine work? And what predictions does he make? Will the Browns ever win the Super Bowl?
No.
That's next, or it already happened, on Hysteria 51.
Man, I tell you. This is like the perfect scenario, but we need John to be the best
coach. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For Larry Limited Time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
This episode is brought to you by Nourish by Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Nourish is a personalized vitamin regimen customized to you. Backed by 45 years of science, they remove the guesswork from your vitamin regimen. With thousands of happy customers, Nourish is a trusted supplement brand by many. Visit Nourish.com to create your customized package today.
Jean-Claude Titor.
Oh, man. There is never enough time to satisfy me.
I split kick you in the face.
Nation, we are back, and we have more time jokes than you can have time for.
Oh, no, that one doesn't count.
No. Ah, it's so good.
John's turned the tables on us. Now Brett and I are the ones going.
Buzz Killington over here, now that I've got you. All right, tell me more about Teeter.
Titor? Let's talk about his time machine.
Yeah, so far I've heard that it's a Corvette. Or it's in the back of a Corvette.
No, it's in the back of a Corvette.
And it produces spinning singularities, much like CERN did. It's just more compact.
When I DJed at a little club called Carbo's in college, my DJ name was Spinning Singularity.
Oh, I see. I see what you did there. Carbo's was really a place we used to, unfortunately, go to.
Yeah, or Adkins killed that.
Hey! That's one you have to think about for a second, kid.
We don't like those on this show. Stop that.
more dick and fart jokes, please.
Yeah.
All right.
Tell me about this time machine.
He claimed that the technology, based on the far out, let's say, cosmological work of mathematical physicist Frank Tipler, just the Tipler, just to see how it feels, would be figured out after a breakthrough at the CERN particle accelerator around the year 2001.
Which, I mean, they probably wouldn't have told us by now, so I'm still on board. Keep going.
They learned how to create mini black holes. That happened in 2001,
according to them. Which they were very worried about. Remember, they were going to crank that thing up and we were all going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's a huge campaign.
Or maybe we've died many times and this is, we don't even realize it. It's
respawning.
Just, yeah. Yeah.
But we entered
luckily
up down
they saved.
Up down, up down, left right, BA, select start because it's two player.
It's multiplayer. Right. Yeah. We're good.
Don't you guys keep waking up in your bedroll like nothing happened?
Yeah. Like Kenny. Like he just wakes up in the bed every morning. Here we go.
His machine was manufactured, as we mentioned before, by General Electric and installed in the back of a 67 Chevy Corvette.
Because that makes sense. Like now, of course he said he was a military guy, but General Electric's just pumping these out for, you know, willy-nilly uses, like, hey, I got a few days off. I'm going to go back to Wyoming in the 60s and see what it was
like. And 67 Corvette makes sense because it was widely considered a fairly weak design model of in the Corvette lineage. Now, nothing special or interesting about it.
Was it a convertible and he was actually the astronaut from Heavy Metal? And that was his car that
he was coming. John Titor.
Well, guys, you can make all the jokes you want, but we actually have a description from the man himself. Seabot, can you play that, please?
It is produced by the modal interaction of magnetoreluctance and capacitive directance. The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fam.
No, C-Bot, that's a 70s video about transmissions.
Yeah.
But let's have our resident chrononaut voice, Mr. Flora, read what Teeter actually said in similar nonsense jargon.
By using two micro singularities in close proximity to each other, it is possible to create, manipulate, and alter the Kerr fields to create a Tipler gravity sinusoid. This field can be adjusted, rotated, and moved in order to simulate the movement of mass through a donut-shaped singularity and into an alternate world line. Thus, safe time travel.
He had me a donut.
Yeah.
Well, that's all that matters.
Wait. Safe? What? Why would you say safe?
Yeah.
Is this dangerous? What? No.
One wants to use those Hewlett-Packard machines. That's why I'm GE.
Do you think that he was going around playing tricks on people's soda, much like Tom DeLonge described? So we're in the gravity bubble.
This tastes like Pepsi, and I ordered a Coke.
Wait a second. I'm going to take the Coke out of his hand and put it in her hand. Hey-o!
Oh, man.
Part of the reason that he chose the 67 Corvette II is that I think that the construction of the car helped with the forces at work.
Oh, interesting.
And also it would be it would blend in 1975.
For all those. Yeah. And you can even drive it around now and people would be like, oh, hey, you know. So, sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
In 2000, 1998 or so, I think he says he was driving like a pickup truck at the time. Some kind of car. So he had to trade in, you know, to look more inconspicuous.
Perhaps this time travel isn't as safe as he let on.
No.
But I'll tell you what else is not safe: the future.
Oh. Did he make some prediction? Well, I'm sorry, statements about what's gonna happen?
Yes, he did.
It's not a prediction when you know it.
First off, he recounted that the world has literally gone to hell.
Right. Now, do you mean hell as in the aforementioned hoary host and neither world evil were actually in hell? Or it's just like, you know, people kept voting for people that we don't like?
We're going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah. Leave the politics out.
Yeah.
It's going to start with a second civil war in 2004.
Oh, well, you know, that's that timeline.
So that didn't exactly happen yet. I mean,
no,
yet.
He saved us from it.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe. You know.
It was supposed to coincide with civil unrest surrounding the 2004 election. If you remember, in our timeline at least, Bush was reelected that year pretty easily. There wasn't a lot of unrest.
Yeah.
The civil conflict that we were going to have, he characterized as having a Waco type event every month that steadily
gets
worse.
Saying is that in his timeline, Janet Reno has assumed power.
Yes.
And she's Waco everywhere. There's children in there. Ram them all.
Use fire.
Yeah. Burn it with fire.
You know, they said they don't want to come out. Then bring hell inside. What? I don't understand what's going on here.
If you read all of his posts, like David was saying, there's way too many to go over. He definitely has some certain political leanings and isn't a big fan of big government, big corporation.
Which is, we've talked about on this show a lot in the past. I don't know if David, I'm sure you've ran into it. The staunch, we found, alien believers and time travel believers and stuff tend to fall into that hardcore right wing. A lot of times they have a lot of white worldviews and things like
the
that.
The extremists in the paranormal, UFO, and mysterious
the
community.
The Bill Coopers of the world
tend to be right wing extremists. Preppers. Not to say that you're that way if you're a prepper. That's fine.
Or that even being right-leaning is a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, you definitely see this
there's a correlation there.
Yeah.
So as a result of this civil war, the United States would split into five regions based on various factors and differing military objectives. This civil war, according to Teeter, would end in 2015 with a brief but intense World War III. He said it ends with Russia nuking the major cities of the U.S., China, and Europe.
But Don't forget, everybody. Rush is here to help.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They're not attacking, what do you say, us. It's just the government. Hey, sometimes you got to cull the herd in order for them to survive.
Cut the head off the snake so the people can crawl out.
Only lost $3 billion. So he refers to all of those nukings as N-Day.
That makes sense.
Which I suppose is a play on D-Day. I don't know. He specifically calls out Washington, D.C. Okay, mm-hmm. That makes sense, right? I get it. It's the capital of our current government. It's the seat of power. Why wouldn't it be nuked? What other city do you think that they would probably nuke?
I would go to New York. You could make an argument for Chicago. You could also make another argument for places like, you know, Fort Knox and things like that if they have, you know, thinking of things, you know, the bases.
The other seat of power that they went after, according to T-Tor, is Jacksonville, Florida.
Well, everyone hates that damn team, so it makes sense.
That's a good
Haven't
point.
Haven't you seen Ash versus Evil Dead?
Yeah. Right. So they destroy the U.S. Capitol with a nuke. Wow.
After the war.
Do they move it?
They do, to Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha? Somewhere in middle America. Yeah.
And he never, there's, along with everything else with T-Tor, there's contradictions. It's the capital of the country, but the country's actually five countries.
Well, yeah.
There's a lot of that going around.
Well, come on now. No. You've already answered that. It became communism. So you still had the USSR, but you know, back in the day, but then you had all these other places, but it's Union of Soviet Socialist Americans.
No, nobody said the C word.
I'm sorry. Community of like-minded individuals.
It's communal states of federation.
Yeah. This is the breadline. Here you go.
But don't forget, guys, Russia isn't to blame. They only dislike our government, not us as people. So I guess Trump isn't as close to Putin as we thought.
Grab him by the pussy.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Apparently he didn't.
So that has to kill tons and tons and tons of us innocent bystanders.
Yeah, by the end of World War III, we lose close to 3 billion people across the world.
Billion people. Sadly, my God.
Yeah. Summing this up, they've destroyed the U.S. government. It's now this new infrastructure. The people are okay with it because they're helping us out. So what happens? Like, what's the outcome? We don't just go on our merry way, right? You know, and say,
we become a more advanced culture. We become agrarian, kind of. You've ever heard the term locavore? You eat and chop and do everything locally?
Yeah.
That's what we become.
But I think to myself, is that because everything is delivered to me through Amazon?
Yes. He also makes fun of us when we're you know, in the future, we look back at you as idiots.
Life's much more rural in the future, but high technology is used to communicate and travel.
Like this high technology fax machine, for instance.
No, we finally legalized marijuana. Yeah. People raise a great deal of their own food and do more farm work. Why is that?
Why did he put that in quotes? Yeah.
Yes, compared to now, we do work long hours. After the war, early new communities gathered around the current universities. That's where I'm going to call BS. Yeah. That's where the libraries were.
We need to preserve the knowledge.
I went to school at Fort UF, which is now called the University of Florida. Go Gators. Not too much is different, except the military is a large part of people's life, and we spend a great deal of time in the fields and farms at the university. Or Ford.
Whatever the fuck that means.
So that sounds like a weird mixing
farmers.
But it is that whole weird mixing of communism. Like, hey, you're 18, it's time to go into the military. But they almost made military part of your daily lifestyle, is what he's saying. Like,
remember, soldier, service guarantees citizenship.
That's right. Would you like to hear more?
I'm doing my part.
So that was the overall big prediction. Here's some other predictions he came up with. The Olympics were going to be canceled after 2004.
Done.
So this is an interesting one. The Columbia space shuttle disaster. Some people say that the quote that our chrononaut is about to read you was pointing towards the Columbia space shuttle disaster.
Okay.
Care to share with me how you solved the overheating problem on your space plane? Assholes.
Yeah. Now, I will say, you didn't say there were any quotes on any of those words, so we're moving in the right direction. Any problem.
he posted that in February of 2001. The reason it raises eyebrows is because if you remember, the
Columbia was 03.
Columbia happened in 03, and the way it crashed was a piece of foam struck the shuttle's left wing during takeoff, which didn't affect it right then. But upon reentry, superheated air breached the damaged wing, leading to the ultimate disintegration of the shuttle.
Yeah. It just the outside hole was unfortunately damaged.
So people argue that the quote, let's hear it again, Chrononaut.
Care to share with me how you solved the overheating problem on your space
Yeah, we don't hit it with shit. We dodge debris whenever possible.
But people who
think you're so smart, don't you? You asshole.
With your learning and your non-military learning and learning. And why do you keep saying learning?
You and your supermarkets and your ability to transport goods more than 100 miles.
You're not having to farm.
So some people believe that was a reference to Columbia.
Now, is Brondo all they drink in the future because it's got what crops need? Is that a thing?
Electrolytes.
Yeah.
One thing, I don't know if you came across it or not, but he is describing when he talks about going into the military, so he was basically put in, it's like everybody has to serve, I think. And he was put into this, what he calls a shotgun unit, called the Fightin' Diamondbacks.
Oh.
And
out of Arizona.
Now that sounds like a Fightin' Diamondbacks in the shotgun formation or something, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it's I'm not sure why they need the military, who is a threat to them at this point, because it sounds, communist utopia, but,
right.
Yeah, he part of the military thing. He was a shotgun unit, and he and his family were orange farmers.
Okay,
and they would sail up and down the coast delivering oranges to people, and he would make orange wine, which apparently is a thing.
Really,
I had never heard.
I want to try orange wine
now.
I'd
like to, too.
Yeah, I just tried the new orange Bud Light they had at a bar.
Oh my god!
It smells like an orange crush or something like that. Tastes terrible.
Tastes like it sounds. Terrible.
But it really smells like a soda, like an orange soda.
Wow. It wasn't that long ago they had. Didn't they do a Bud Light or maybe it was
a lime?
One of the brands did a lemon flavor, not Shandy. I actually like that.
Oh, they might have. I don't know. Yeah,
or some sort of citrus. Anyway. It reminded me of Pledge, you know, the cleaner Pledge.
Not far off.
So you mentioned orange. Don't forget that Jacksonville was nuked, and obviously radiation travels hundreds of miles. I mean, what is that orange wine? Is it like glowing?
Yeah. It's like the radium girls who would like paint with the radium infused paint, and all of a sudden they literally glue right before they died because their bones disintegrated because it was a horrible, horrible death. But they right for about the first 3 weeks of working there, they were really pretty. They glue in the dark, and guys like, I want to touch you, and your arm fell off. I don't know what's going on. Literally, you want to hear some crazy shit, read about that.
Wow. All I can think of is like Chernobyl. It'd be like people living near Chernobyl right afterwards.
Right, yeah.
And hey, let's grow a bunch of produce here and sell it to people.
Right. There was a craze in the early 19-teens and 20s where they thought radium was good for you. And so they sold radium-infused water, and they realized that radium would make paint glow, your watches and things like that. And so these women that worked in the factories, they were told to shape the brushes with their mouth. So they would put the paint on and like twirl it on their tongue, and they just got radiation poisoning like crazy.
Don't be so overly dramatic about it, Chuck.
So you bring up Jacksonville, but University of Florida is in Gainesville, so that he could conceivably be far enough away from the ground zero
the fallout
of the blast,
would
the fallout,
not have okay.
possibly and,
right.
And he also talks about Tampa in there too, so the fort that he I guess there's so many Florida towns, you guys. No, except Miami, nobody gives a shit about Miami.
was Miami nuked? We're not sure.
We just don't check.
I never
check. So yeah, there's the epicenter of the blast in Jacksonville. Then there's Gainesville, which I think is down further in central, maybe. But and then he's talking about being from Tampa as well. So I don't know if he's crossing his wires. I say I don't know.
So what I'm getting at listening to this is John Teeter was a first Florida man Florida man claims time travel. That's Florida it. Man eats neighbor. Florida man just insert something terrible.
Or was he the last?
Oh. Okay.
Oh. Speaking of last, we have one more prediction. He also said we were going to have a pandemic. I mentioned earlier, Crutchfield's Jacob's
mad cow disease.
Mad cow disease. Didn't happen. However the hell you say it. Let's get a quote from our chrononaut on that one.
A great many people are still dying from CJD. That's Creutzfeldt Jakob disease. I want to emphasize how devastating this disease will be for you in the future. We only eat meat that we raise ourselves. Do not eat or use products from any animal that is fed and eats part of its own dead. The mad cow story here is yet to begin.
That's foreboding, yeah. Don't you think that you could just knock that out relatively quickly? Like, if you do this separatist stuff, wouldn't that just kind of die? Well, you'd also think polio would die out, but then again, look at the world we're living in now. Hey, you know, hey, where's Timmy? Iron lung fitting. What year is it again? Yeah, 2018, that makes sense.
But at least he's not autistic.
Yeah.
I would have thought all the worldwide nukes would have kind of a lot eliminated that problem.
So that all crap didn't come true. Did he get anything right?
He got a few predictions correct.
What kind of predictions? Are they like, you know, real ones or like, or Nostradamus where they look back at it and go, this kind of fits-ish?
Well, first, Iraq and weapons of mass destruction. Here's a quote, and read it for what you will.
None of the things I have said will be a surprise. They were set in motion 10, 20, even 30 years ago. Are you really surprised to find out that Iraq has nukes now? Or is that just BS to whip everyone up into accepting the next war?
He answered and said nothing there and stirred a hell of a pot. Like, did you know the things that are hot button, hot button, hot button? Well, hot button. Go fuck yourselves. Like, wow, all right.
Well, and you know, so obviously, just like the Challenger, people look at that and go, see, there's proof. We went to war with Iraq. They didn't actually have weapons of mass destruction. Colin Powell said they did. So therefore, John Titor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Civil unrest. Yep. He basically said, to sum up, we're not going to go through all of his posts that said it, that we would be giving away our freedoms in exchange for safety.
Wow, yeah.
But that is also
always
been
do
a
that. That's
theme.
Kind of.
I was literally going to use the word theme, mm-hmm. So we're on the same page there. Like, that's every moment of the history of civilization.
He said, China, in regards to China, here's a quote.
The West will become very unstable, which gives China the confidence to expand.
That okay, yeah.
China. China is, that's true. They are expanding. Before they were an insular, they are now trying to become a global economy, part of the global economy. Whereas they weren't as much before?
I can name two just from listening to you. He predicted ish the space shuttle disaster. And you already said the IBM, he said shit that no one knew, and IBM comes forward and goes, yeah, that's actually true.
And if
you know, the IBM 5100.
Now, if you want a quick counter on all the things he got wrong, if you weren't paying attention, here's one we didn't mention. The 2005 president would be viewed as a Lincoln type. I don't know that anyone was looking at George Bush and thinking, that's one of the greatest presidents we've ever had.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
What else?
He also said the United States will elect a female president in the year 2008.
Wrong.
He said, we mentioned this before, that CERN would discover many black holes.
Well,
just because you guys don't know about them.
You said there would have been a civil war by now. No. He said there would have been a World War III by now. No. I'm trying to think of anything else. We haven't broke up the U.S. yet, but that would have had to have been because you said that we were going to have a civil war.
We're going to be, we haven't been nuked
yet. I'm trying to think of what else you taught us.
Matt. So all of those predictions he got wrong.
Wrong.
Yeah.
But guys, have no fear. There's an easy, easy explanation, and it's called the multi-world theory.
So I called it in the beginning. It's just
you're on these tangents.
Brent.
Oh, Brent.
Hey, it's a new bubble. It's a bubble.
Titor says
that's how you can think of time. They're bubbles, and they just bump into one another, and sometimes the arches overlap, and sometimes one pops. That checks out.
Can we hurry it up, Brent, please?
You may.
Titor says, every time you time travel, you create a new world line. That's his word. That's his word. Essentially, that's our word.
Yeah. Shall we call that a multiverse?
Yes. And every time you do it, a new one comes up. The timeline diverges by virtue of the fact that you're there.
Yeah, you shouldn't be there.
And so it
you were not. You cannot change the past. You can create a new past.
So he's saying that because he showed up here, we're already in a new thread.
But then how can he save his own timeline? When he leaves, he'll be going to a different one, right?
Well, there's actually science behind that.
The way he gets around that is that he gets in his Chevy or pickup or whatever he's using at the time, and he goes back. He goes back 1 second before he showed up in that timeline and kicks that thing into forward to go rocketing past into his own timeline.
So he skips the tangent.
The tangent's
still there. We're screwed. We are screwed. We're screwed because he's fixing his future, not ours. We're a tangent he created by coming here. Damn you, Art Bell.
Now, he did some calculations to address your specific concern, and he says that his own timeline is 2.5% different than ours.
Okay, I want to see that math.
Yeah, that algorithm.
Yeah.
Show your work, please, Mr. Titor. Yeah. Show your work.
It's like an episode of Big Bang Theory where it's just random math. I'm like, that works out.
I see a pi symbol in there. Yeah. It's good.
Is this Common Core?
Yeah.
But here's my biggest problem with that. The entire world being nuked and basically a lot of technologies taking a step back and everything else that we've just been through, that's only 2.5% different than where we're at right now.
Right, right.
And the other thing is, in case you might be wondering, you can't just time travel willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Like, he has basically a 60-year window that
he can go
forward.
So it's almost like if you want to go to Mars, you got to wait until your window, or you're coming back from the moon. Like.
Kind of, but what he does with this, it's, you think of it as a cone. Like, the farther back you go, the more, like, unstable
it is. Oh, so
you
can't pinpoint as well.
So this is the safe time
travel. Yeah. Interesting.
And he also said that you can only go back
like 60 years.
At a chunk.
At the most.
But if you have a bigger, better version, like, you know, with the Pentium 2.0 in it, it can go further.
All right. So here's my question. Who was this for really?
Could it be that?
Yeah.
Who is this cat?
You know what? I'm going to tell you right after the break.
Suspense. John's the king of suspense. Tessa. Patient.
It's just a jump to the left.
And then it's up to the right.
Can we just talk about Rocky Horror for the rest of the episode?
Start a show about that.
Yeah. All right. So you asked who could it be?
Yeah.
Who was behind this?
Well, duh. We already said John Titor.
John Titor. Right. But if for some reason it wasn't, the biggest, I suppose, name that's tossed out there is actually a family. It's two guys. Let me back up. An Italian television program called Voyager aired the results of an investigation of John Titor in May of 2008. Private investigator Mike Lynch found no registry evidence, past or present, of any individual named John Titor. He did, however, identify the John Titor Foundation, a for-profit company formed in September of 2003 with no office or address other than a rented post box in Kissimmee, Florida. They also found an IP address connected to Titor, also geolocated to Kissimmee. In 2009, a report from the website Hoax Hunter named Larry Haber, a Florida entertainment lawyer, as the CEO of the foundation. So that's who was running it. Lynch concluded that Haber and his brother, Maury Haber, a computer scientist, were likely the men behind John Titor. So that's probably the most common belief of, like, if there was a hoax, who cooked it up?
Right.
Who cooked it up? It was the Haber brothers.
So here's an interesting thing. When we were talking about this, I was chatting with Rojan Razorwire of Project Archivist because they had done an episode on it. And I was telling them, you know, I was like, I know that you had a big thing that happened on his because they interviewed a guy named Joe or Joseph Matheny or Matheny.
Matheny, that's the head coach of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, there you go. And he said
one and the same.
On his show, he came out and said, I made all of this up, and just came out and said, this is me, I'm sorry, and then kind of disappeared off the internet, to which Rogan and Lobo of Project Archivist got a lot of hate mail and people saying, like, take the episode down or I'll kill you, because John Teeter has a lot of fans, as for whatever reason, and so he was like, maybe you don't mention that. I'm like, nah, I'll mention it. It's fine. Like, because I don't you know, it's not like it's these people are
well, what happened
there.
Was John Teeter, all the people that were angry, he brought them a Gray's Sports Almanac.
Oh.
And so they were in line to make some money Cubs, on the ponies.
The Cubs.
I'd get the one that's 2.5% off. You know.
What,
just my luck. I like the idea.
What
of
is this dust-resistant jacket?
Oh. Ooh.
And if you like dust, we have this so item called a
dust
buster.
Like, it's kind of like the ghosts at the Congress Hotel. I say, like, just like I said, come at me, ghosts. I say, any Teeter fans, come at me. Come try to kill me. I'm Joe Peck. I'll send you out my address.
And so they think this is the one. Those are the guys.
This is the one that Joe should actually be worried about.
Yeah, this Matheny guy actually was the, I guess they call him the architect of this augmented reality game back in the day called Ong's Hat. I think this is the same guy, if I'm remembering right.
Okay.
And it was kind of a weird. Have you guys come across Cicada 3301
yes.
yet?
Yes,
yeah.
We're doing an episode, yeah.
We have an upcoming episode on it.
So it's sort of in that same, like...
Figure this out and
kind of, yeah, kind of like riddles and like, look deeper and here's, you know, the meaning of life and blah, 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 but it's all a game.
Yeah.
The red pill.
So that, yeah, it's kind of this guy is connected in that vein.
Was that game also supposedly... part of the government to figure out, or like Cicada?
No.
That one
was just, I don't think so. I don't think there was anything like we're trying to put all the smartest people together and, you know, and then Men in Black, everything.
Got it.
Yeah.
But, it was just sort of a game for super nerds and intellectuals who were bored with life. And
well, we all know
all
that.
The plebs.
The so whole the smartest people together thing is unnecessary from a game. They just come grab the four of us.
That's true. That's we're already on a podcast. So those are the potential hoaxers, but we all know that the other option as to who could it be is simply what we've told you from the get-go.
I believe John Teeter.
It was John Teeter.
An actual time traveler. That just makes sense. Or some other time traveler using the name John Teeter.
Of course, bitchy and somewhat smarmy
time traveler.
It's a name that it's probably one of those things when you talked about it. Like I told you, I didn't know a lot about it. But even if you don't know this, you've probably heard the name before,
yeah.
You know, because it's been mentioned in a lot of things. And you know, we've mentioned on here briefly in one episode.
And there's offshoot. There are tons of offshoot conspiracies that basically take it and then try to run with it and make it like 2.0.
Yeah.
There's actually another guy who claims that he's John Teeter the second.
Oh,
And I didn't even bother getting
son
into
of
that.
Teeter? Is he like the son of Svengoolie?
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Little JJ's coming into play. There you go, you know?
All right, guys. Time for the most important part of the show. I told you the story.
Is it the time on Sprockets when we dance?
When we dance. It's close. The Teeter story has produced a bunch of pop culture, up to and including the game that David just mentioned. Mm-hmm. So there are video games, like we said. There's fictional. There's movies. There's
fiction. There's fiction. You don't say.
No, created as an offshoot.
Oh,
this wasn't fiction, of course.
Okay.
But I think there's even a graphic novel.
I also saw, you know, just in, you know, we're talking about this. Not wanting to research it, but looking up his name, it pops up in games and things, which are probably just Easter eggs. You know what I mean? Where they're the John Teeter.
Well, that was actually him going back in time and planting those in there so you could learn about it.
In time.
Wasn't Majora's Mask just basically this story?
That's exactly what Majora's Mask was.
Sure.
Dumbasses.
C-Bot, stop
My favorite level was when you're trying to change the tire on the Corvette.
That's stationary. Doesn't have to...
Yeah,
That's right. And
yeah, you never know.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this Corvette.
Yes. That's right.
All right. So probably the most important thing that came out of it was the music.
Yeah, that's the most important.
Let's
we'll give it to
listen
you.
To a few songs that are a homage to Mr. Titor. So this first one, the artist calls himself John Titor, but I don't think they're claiming to be the time traveler. I think it's just a, you know.
John Titor.
A nom de plume. And the title of this song is Going to Space.
Where I'm going, I don't know. I just don't want to be alone. I don't want to have that I'm breathing. I don't want to see the things I'm seeing. Everything is going to be new. I got to be focused and forget about you. I'm going to try to stay alive and being back to being in time. Everything is going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. I'm going to space. I don't have time to waste.
Holy shit. Wow. Auto-tuned shit is a thing.
But you know, the
I believe it's John Titor.
It's okay for a while. Or not. I mean, okay is not the right word, but it's whatever. And then, like, are you going to throw up on my shoes?
You get to the hook, and I'm hooked.
Wow. All right, John Titor, going to space, that's got to be a challenge.
Do they get better or worse? Which way are we going? Which way are we going? Because you told me you have a few.
I regret to inform you that that was the best one we're going to hear.
Oh, that actually excites me, actually, more than I should say.
Up next, we have an instrumental by a band called Travelers of Time, and the name of the song is John Titor.
T-Y-M-E?
Time is spelled T-Y-M-E.
Oh, they're getting a little seasonal on us.
Go in the kitchen, too.
You know what? For the first, the most of it, it just sounded like your average
surfer music.
Yeah, I was just singing like it's a surf
band. It's like
The
Venture. Somebody's remixing The Venture.
Any of those old Bond movies where he's on a island, it sounds like music that would play in the background.
Yeah.
But then there's
you mean Hawaiian shirt Bond?
No, Mr. Titor. I expect you to die.
But then there's that random person talking in the background or Almin or...
you just changed the timeline.
I like that the YouTube video had his insignia on there, though. His little time travel patch.
Yeah. Yes. Important.
Okay, so the next one is called Ode to John Titor, The Ballad of a Disgruntled Time Traveler.
So it sounds like someone was reading his posts. As David said, they were snarky.
This is by a gentleman named Jason Weaver.
John Titor, would you help me, please? Stuck in a world where I don't want to be. The rights are all wrong and the wrongs are all right.
Fucking folk hero.
This is incredible. I'm that guy's newest member of his fan club.
But seriously, when I put out my country album, I'm going to entitle it The Wrongs Are All Right.
I think this guy's playing City Winery next weekend.
Yeah.
A Whole Foods, I heard.
No, we have a grocery here in a grocery store here in Chicago called Mariano's, and it's just like a normal everyday. If you're on the West Coast, it's like a Ralph's. If you're on the East Coast, it's like a
Kroger?
A Publix. And whenever you go in there, every now and then they'll just have a random musician playing,
and they're playing by the odd meat section that has python, camel. What else do they have there? Turtle, like the weird stuff. And there's just some guy playing. You're like, okay, I'm.
What is happening right now?
It's just so weird.
Wrong,
yeah.
And the wrongs are all right.
All right. Just it.
Don't
displaced.
Eat this meat. You'll be up all night.
Mad cow disease. He's trying to warn.
He's trying to help. This next one's called Here's You Shine, and it's by the John Titor Sound Project.
So it's kind of like the Alan Parsons Project. Yeah. You know. Alan Parsons Sound Machine Project. Here we go. I don't even know what that has to do with him.
I don't think it has anything to do with him.
I don't know, but those guys have pretty sick instruments for being a BS like little nobody band.
They picked like four people of completely different clothing and styles and said, form a band.
And they're like, you are banned now. Try to be REM guys.
As I say, didn't he have some sort of weird accent?
Yeah, he did.
He goes by The Ledge. It's not quite The Edge, but it's close.
And finally, this one is called Song for the Time Traveler John Teeter, and it's by a young lady named Handy Garner.
Handy Garner? Han Gardner? Handy?
I don't know.
I'm looking at the name here.
Apologies to
Hyundai Gardner.
Handy.
Hyundai Launcher?
She has a fucking helmet on.
What is happening?
For safety.
Her walls are covered in what appears to be pelts of some sort.
She's wearing sunglasses and a helmet.
There is a obviously low-budget hand-painted tiger drawing and a popcorn ceiling.
Is that a vacuum by the door?
It was at one time.
You're missing the best part, the words.
I can't make out what she's saying.
The plan's good. right?
Yeah. And she's got a helmet and glasses, so she's ready in case any sort of time trouble brews.
Well, that's her time travel helmet, she said.
Oh.
So, as you can see, John Titor has left so many different legacies with us, and probably the most important, the seminal work that we just played.
Isn't it funny? Just step back and look at what we're doing right here. Some guy sent two faxes to a radio show 20 years ago and then wrote a blog post, and we're talking about him and arguing, and people are giving other shows death threats about this guy. God bless America.
Well, and that's the thing about this one. When most of the topics that we do, there is some sort of person saying there's an actual sighting of something. There's some sort of something. We did crystal skulls. These exist. Whether they mean anything or not is the question.
Yeah.
There's
photo evidence that Hitler was real.
I got it in. Yeah, well done. This was literally a troll on the internet. Mm-hmm. I mean, or a time traveler, but a troll on the internet. And
a time troveler?
20 years later, we're talking about him on this Ham and Egg podcast.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
do we need to do your thoughts?
I think my thoughts are well done. Two people that have come up with BS that stuck, and I love it. The guy who came up with John Teeter and the guy who told you that if you get stung by a jellyfish, you need to piss on it, because that one isn't true too. And that guy is my spirit animal. Like, you
the
know.
Dude that Phenomenal. Said you swallow like 8 spiders a year.
Yeah,
sleep
yeah.
Or that if you eat a Taco Bell, that you'll get cockroaches growing in your cheek.
I pray.
Jesus, dude.
That something,
too hard in the paint. Right?
I pray that something I do in my life decades from now has strangers pissing on other strangers. Like, that is.
With cockroaches growing in the mouth?
Yes. Yes. No, I don't care as long as this is involved.
Joe, what are your thoughts on the time traveler?
I don't know, man.
His wife was
he's airtight. Obviously, anything he was incorrect about is a different timeline, a different worldline.
That didn't happen here. 2.5%.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, it's brilliant. He did it.
As in, you want him in an airtight box?
And just like every good one of these conspiracies, there's these little ringers, the fact that he knew stuff about IBM, things like that, that are just these little snippets that make those diehard fervent fans go,
love
see,
it,
I told you so.
All over it.
So our resident expert, David.
The chrononaut.
Yeah, the fluoride machine himself. What's the thoughts?
You know, it's funny, like with those little kernels, like you said, it's enough to make people stop and say, wait a minute, is there something to this?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then, you know, he goes on these weird, like, pretty libertarian kind of rants, which is, there's nothing wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
It's just a weird dichotomy when he's also talking about, like, literal communism in the future. And, you know, there's a lot of political and pop culture things that he throws out there. So if it's somebody who faked it all, then he definitely had his finger on the pulse of a lot of stuff in the world. So, at the time.
Some of these people that fake these things don't just go, I'm going to do it. They put in research and they do so. That's what always blows my mind, is the ones that stick are these ones where someone went, if this was a fake, they're like, I'm going to actually research some stuff and try to figure some stuff out so that there's at least, yeah, these kernels
some credibility,
of truth that you cannot deny certain things. No matter what, so that there will always be an argument.
If you go deeper than we did, you'll go insane. But if you go deeper than we did, you'll definitely see all the political leanings.
Yeah.
And that's a lot less fun.
Stinks of the politics, like, this is, and we didn't even, you guys,
this is, it's a lot more fun just talking about, oh, hey, the world got nuked 3 years ago. You know, that's fun and funny. But some of the political stuff, it's like, okay, you're actually starting to see the...
agree to disagree on the humor of that, but keep going.
you actually start
to welcome our new overlords.
Yeah, that's right.
You actually start to see his reasoning, I guess, for writing all of this. And it's not as fun and sci-fi as it appears on the surface.
Yeah,
is that a fair way to say it? Sure,
there's always an ulterior motive to most things like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's our thoughts, Nation. What are yours? Let us know if you think that we are stupid in not believing wholeheartedly in the John Cheater story. How can they tell us that? And he's trying to make friends with Joe. I don't get it.
Well, if you want to yell at that robot or talk to us or just discuss this episode, hop on Facebook and join our discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just type in that little search bar, Hysteria Nation.
Yeah, and Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. You can find our regular page on there. Twitter at Hysteria51Pod. Please give us a follow and tweet at us. Patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can get yourself t-shirts, stickers, koozies, be a guest on the show, pick the topic.
Joe Peck has donated his underwear, and will send it to whoever donates the least.
The whites.
Much like a weird Asian site, he'll send you worn underwear and pay you.
No, wasn't it in Japan they had vending machines?
Supposedly with used underwear.
With used
underwear. Yeah, for real.
No, that's for real. That's legit. Now, admittedly, when things like this travel around the internet, it's there was one and somebody took a picture. It's not like they're on every street corner.
You mean like the automatic pizza machine I found in Brussels?
Yes. So we were in L.A., and you know this is stupid, but Lisa and I were in L.A. and we're at this upstairs place. They had a machine and there's like caviar and stuff there. I'm like, who would buy the $600 can of caviar out of a vending machine?
Was it Beluga?
Probably.
Because
I
would.
The good stuff?
Because John bought that last week.
Right. Out of a vending machine.
Is it the Beluga? Oh, I bought that.
Don't forget, outside of Patreon, if you want to hear yourself on the show, leave us a voicemail. 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. If you forgot.
Hey, Brent.
Yeah.
Can you guys set up a fax number? I mean, like after this episode, that's really necessary.
You can send it. That is our Google number.
Well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
You could probably fax that. I don't know, and we'll probably get it.
He brings up a valid point. How else are we going to get faxes from T4?
Exactly, from the future fax machine.
Someone try to send us a fax, 773-669-7277, and we'll let you know if we get it or not. I'm excited. If you forget this or any of the things we've just said, you can go to Hysteria51.com, find all of that, including links to our t-shirts. It's under the shop section, pins,
and
lots
a wheel
of
conspiracy. It's so fun at parties. Spin the wheel, talk about a conspiracy.
We had a guest. A special guest, an expert on John Titor, who is also an expert in the podcasting world, David Flora. Thank you, sir. Where can everyone find you, find your show?
It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to be on. Thank you guys for having me back.
Thank you.
You can find all my stuff at blurryphotos.org. If you can't get enough of this John Titor feller or this awful Charlton Heston knockoff.
you damn dirty time traveler.
That's right. Go seek out my episode on John Titor. It was pretty recent. I think I released it January, February, but
and much more well researched than this one.
Well, you can pry it from his cold dead sinusoid.
That's right.
play it on your iPod, no matter what it is.
Blurry Photos podcast, wherever fine podcasts are free.
Yeah, absolutely.
Joe, Brent just said he wanted to thank our one special guest.
I know.
He's our super special guest.
I think you're digging out right there. Joe,
yeah, it didn't happen.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you for coming back on the program.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do, Seabot. Shut up. You just shut up. Shut your dirty mouth right now. Of course.
There it is. Seabot loves me.
He teases those you love.
Well, Joe, thank you for joining.
Yeah.
Welcome to beer.
So with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Joe.
I've been David.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bat.
Stay woke, meat sacks.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.